Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm Pat Sloan, and we're here with two really, really great guests today. I'm so excited because we are going to learn so much. Both of my guests are just raring to go and hoping to answer everything you ever wanted to know. I know they are. So, you know, the first guest that I have, you know and love through her work is in her design company, Open Gate Quilts, but also because she is a regular contributor to American Patchwork and Quilting, and she's a piecer. So we know all of you piecers out there have been following Monique Dillard's work forever. She is so fabulous, and I'm so pleased to have her. Hello, Monique. How are you?
Hi, Pat. Good. Great. How are you?
I'm really, really wonderful. I'm so happy to have you come on and talk quilting today.
I'm so excited to be here. This is wonderful.
I know, and somehow I missed meeting you in person at the last trade show. I just sort of like kicked myself. I'm going to get hold of you the next one for a big hug.
That sounds wonderful. Well, you know, those trade shows are so busy. It's hard to meet everybody you need to meet.
I know. They're crazy. You think you go home and go, dang, I missed so-and-so and this booth. And yeah, it's crazy. So tell me, how did you actually start quilting? You know, what's your backstory?
Well, I really have sewn all my life. I took home ec and I just loved it. And my one grandma, she quilted. And when I was growing up, you know, we just took it for granted that she had the quilt. But then when I was about 21, my sister-in-law said, you know, I really like quilts. And I looked at them and I thought, you know, I could make those. Mm-hmm. Took a class and that was it. I fell in love. No turning back. I loved it.
It sounds a lot like my story. Did you make clothing for yourself?
I did make clothing. I didn't like it as much because it felt like trying to fit and making all that. But doing the quilting, I have a very mathematical mind, and it just fit right into it. And I just loved the fact that you had all this wonderful fabric, and then you could use your math on top of it. It really was a great fit for me, and I just loved it.
Well, that is really cool. I don't have the math part, but I didn't like putting in, you know, sleeves and stuff.
Right.
That was, yeah, not so fun. You are really, really good at fabric.
Thank you.
Yeah, you have just quite an amazing eye. And what I thought we might do first in our little chat is talk about some of the projects that you have on All People Quilt and talk about it from fabric placement. How does that sound?
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah, the first one that I pulled up was a table runner that you have called Two Tone Star Table Runner, and it's at allpeoplequilt.com, so mm-hmm. everybody can search for it. Or you can just search Monique Dillard, and you get all the things that she's done. What's fascinating to me about this one is the layout of the fabric to get sort of that shading of the stars, and there's sort of like stripes behind them.
Mm-hmm.
How would you want to go about doing that?
Well, one of the things when I designed this quilt, and it's in the magazine if they're looking for it, it's called Half and Half, and it was in the December 2010 issue, and it does have the color option as well. What I love about quilts is when you lay them out and you can change the block just by twisting it and getting either a diamond effect or a stripe effect or just whatever way you put it, you get a totally different effect. And with this table runner, you get a stripe effect because you have three fabrics. You have a light and a medium and a dark, and by putting those together, you can get a band of light and then a band of dark, and then but just by twisting them, you can get them to go different ways. And that's one of the things I look for when I'm choosing fabric is the variety of color. I like a medium, I like a dark, and I like a light. And I love a medium print because I think it adds so much interest. Mm-hmm. You don't want it to be too light or it's going to blend in with your backgrounds, but you still want that little bit of difference in there, and I think it adds a lot to it.
Now, when you're picking fabric for something like this, do you lay out the kind of color flow on your table first, you know, or do you play with it after you've actually cut squares and rectangles?
Well, I I probably do it a little different. I can visualize it usually in my mind. So when I know
of course
of
people, you can.
A lot of people look at me like, are you crazy?
Yeah. No, no, we understand. We may not be able to do it, but we understand.
Yeah, and so what I do is I lay out my fabrics on my table, and I try and match them into pairs. That's one thing that I've done, and I do it in, I have a book, I don't know if you're aware, I have a book out with C&T Publishing called Fat Quarter Winners, and that's one thing I tell them in there is match your fat quarters like a light and a dark or a light and a medium so that you can see the contrast and then work with those pairs. And I do that a lot. Or, you know, if you have three fabrics, work with those three together and make a number of blocks. And that's what I did with half and half, or the table runner is I chose three different fabrics, a light, the medium, and the dark, and I made several blocks the exact same. So it gives you a scrappy look, but it also gives it more of a planned scrappy look.
Cool.
And that's kind of how I do my quilts when I choose my fabrics.
We have another one that you did, which is actually called online. It's called Scrappy Table Runner. But in the speaking segue into scrappy.
That's right.
Yeah, but you called it Red Hots, or it was called Red Hots when it was actually published in the magazine,
right,
when it first came out. Now this one, if you do remember, it looks like it's like three blocks, but you colored them so they sort of blend one right into the other.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So
and
what
this,
kind?
This one here, that one, Red Hot, is much scrappier than I normally do, and I love it. I think it's wonderful. It has a variety of reds, from tomato red all the way to burgundy. Mm-hmm. And when I did it in for the magazine, it was much scrappier because I did do all the variety of lights and darks. But in the table runner, it's a little more planned, and I think it's probably because they don't have as many fabrics in it because it's a smaller project.
Cool. Well, it's I like the way that it looks like a block, but it just goes across the whole length of the table runner, so
yes,
it's not block looking.
Right. And I like that, too. That's another thing that I look for when I'm designing my quilts, is I look for a block that, when put next to another block, you get either a secondary effect or you cannot tell what the block is.
Right.
And it's funny because when I'm doing lectures and I'll point out what the block is, everybody just is like, oh, that's the block, because I know I can see their minds working going, where is the block in that quilt?
Yeah, where is the block? Right. You always go, do you do the same thing? You tell everybody go to the one of the corners,
yes,
and start sort of working out from the corner until something looks like a repeat so you can find the block?
Yes. Yes, that's a great way to put it. Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to use that, Pat, because that's not what I've told people.
Well, it works for most things. You just have to get your eye focused somewhere in a corner instead of looking at the whole piece.
Exactly, yeah, because it is hard sometimes to tell where the blocks are. And I think that's what's fascinating about quilts, too, is that you can have the same block, and just by turning it or by putting it next to another one, you get a totally different look than what you originally had thought you would get.
Oh, I know. That's the that's the most fun, isn't it? That's where.
Yeah.
Do you actually work with do you design with software, like any of the software packages?
I do. I actually use Quilt Pro. And the reason I chose Quilt Pro is when I first started designing, it was the easiest for me. It was very Windows-based. It had the same kind of things that like Word had and that kind of thing. So I found it very easy to work with. But in the last couple of years, I've been using InDesign to design quilts, especially because of my fabric, because I want the scale to be the right way, and it's just an easier way to design. But I really like Quilt Pro. If I need to whip something up, I'll just go in there because I'm so good at it now after, you know, working with it for 7 years. After a while, you know exactly how to get around around it. So that's what I use. I use both of those programs.
Neat. Well, since you mentioned your fabric, why don't you tell me a little bit about, you know, what's your most current fabric line and who is it with, so people can find it?
Okay. I have my first fabric line came out last May with Maywood Studios, and it is called Old World Style. And how I came up with it is that I like to look at books that have old tiles and old textiles, tapestries, and I'm talking about like 1700s, 1800s in Europe, not a reproduction type of thing.
Right.
And it's funny because I was looking through a book and I was looking through and I thought, oh, this would be really cool for piecing because they had some, you know, piecing blocks. And then I went a little further and I thought, ooh, this would be really good for applique. They had some wonderful motifs to use. And then as I got near to the end, I'm like, oh, this is fabulous. I'm using this for fabric. So that's kind of how I came about doing that. I know I kind of jumped the gun on that, but that's how I came about doing that. And then, so that's my first line, and it was out last May. And then my second line is called Memories of Provence. Mm-hmm. And the colors are blue, red, black, and cream, and some green thrown in there. And it comes out in September.
Nice, nice. Now, do you have that on your website, or do they need to go to Maywood?
Go to maywoodstudio.com, okay. And they have both the lines on there. And I have a partner that I work on retail with, and we have all the fabric, the first line of fabric, on mm-hmm. our website. It's bundlesandboltsquiltcompany.com.
Okay, good. So they can find it, because people want to see what it looks like, so they can...
Mm-hmm.
Cruise around for it. Yeah, I'm trying to find it quickly on Maywood myself, but I'm not finding it as quick while I'm talking to you, so I'll have to go later and look at it. So we have, just real quickly, there's one other quilt that I wanted people to look at that's on allpeoplequilt.com. It's called Batik Strips and Squares, but when you had it in the magazine, it was called Linked Together.
Right.
And can you just tell us just like 30 seconds a little bit about that quilt?
Well, Link Together is using jelly roll strip.
Oh, okay. It's a jelly roll quilt.
Yeah. And I had, when I had designed this, I actually hadn't designed it for the jelly roll strips. But then as I was working with them, I'm like, this would be perfect for that. And mm-hmm. I like to use a whole line of fabric because I do know that they're going to go together well.
Mm-hmm,
and then
mm-hmm.
kind of, you know, add my little twist on, like on the inner border, I used some leftovers and made them more pieced instead of a whole piece for a border. And then sometimes I'll even use the leftovers for binding. So, you know, I try to use as much as I can of the jelly rolls.
Good, good. Well, we're going to take a little break, and we'll be
okay.
right back with Monique. And you're listening to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
Ready for a new project? Choose from hundreds of free patterns in the Projects and Ideas section of our website, allpeoplequilt.com.
Do you love free motion quilting but struggle to fit your project in a small throat space? The HQ Suite 16 is designed for you. With 16 inches of throat space, there is room to work on even a king size quilt. The smooth surface of our height adjustable table allows your project to glide under the needle with ease. The HQ Suite 16 is built with powerful HQ technology designed to handle all your quilting projects.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Come see what's cooking at the Moda Bake Shop website. You'll find free recipes for using the wide range of Moda pre-cuts from your favorite designers and quilt shops. We've got ideas for using a variety of ingredients, including honey buns, jelly rolls, layer cakes, charm packs, and more. Instructions with detailed step-by-step photos guide you through the recipes and the fun. New projects served up daily at modabakeshop.com.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
We're back here with Monique Dillard, and I am just loving this conversation. You are so fun to talk to.
Well, thank you. So are you.
Let's talk rulers, because you love rulers, don't you?
Yes, and that goes back to my math background. I have a degree in mathematics, so to me, rulers are just like, oh, this is so cool that I can actually use this degree in something. You know, you spend all that money on it, and you think, oh, what am I going to use it for? But I have been using it, so that's a good thing. My parents are happy, too.
Oh, yes. It's a good day. It's a good day when you use your college degree as your income.
That's right. Exactly.
You actually design rulers, don't you?
Yes, I do. I actually have four rulers. I have the Fit to Be Square ruler that trims square in a square block. Mm-hmm. Two flying geese rulers that are the Fit to Be Geese and the Mini Fit to Be Geese. And then my newest ruler is called Fit to Be Quarter, which trims quarter square triangles. Plus, I'm finding a lot of different things. It's kind of going to be an all-purpose ruler. And what do with my rulers is I oversize and I trim them down so I know that they're going to be exactly the size I need with them. And then once I designed the rulers, another thing that I really wanted to do is I wanted to include a free pattern with my rulers. Because how many times has anybody gone, seen the demo, bought the ruler, gone home and said, oh, now what do I do with it?
Right, right. That's clever of you.
Yeah, and so I've included a free pattern. The patterns are based strictly, they use the ruler, they use, you know, some other little pieces, but nothing too complicated, because I really want you to get practice using the ruler. And once you start using them, they work wonderfully, and they are just so nice and accurate. And that's the big thing that I found.
Now, you have patterns and books. Let's just talk about this newest book you have, because, you know, I love the name. The name of your new book is, whoops, I just lost it. Tell me the name of your new book.
Back Quarter Winners.
Back Quarter Winners. I like that. Winners. We all want to be winners.
We want to be winners.
So tell how, get 11 projects in there. That's great.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about the book itself. Because, you know, I think I always call my students, you know, I ask them, are they the fat quarter queens? Because, you know, some people, that's what they buy. And they have huge collections of fat quarters.
Oh, yeah. And since writing this book, I used to have a lot. Now I've got a lot more.
No.
I just love fat quarters. And how the book came about is, like I said, I love fat quarters. And when I was talking to CNT Publishing, I proposed that we do this. And they thought that was a great idea. Because one of the things that I really like to do is I like to use as much of the fabric as possible. Like I mentioned earlier, sometimes I'll use leftovers for binding, like with the jelly roll.
Right.
And I also, with each fat quarter, I will figure out how you can get the most blocks out of one fat quarter.
Ooh, so you did all the work.
Yes, I did all the work. And another bonus with the book is that I put extra sizes in. Because you know how when you look at a quilt, you think, oh, I like that, but I wish I could make it king size. Or I want it just a wall hanging. So I included all the extra sizes in there so that people don't have to try and figure it out.
And do you then explain in your book or in your patterns which rulers would work if they choose to use one of your rulers?
Yes, definitely. And especially in the book, I put how to use the traditional method or my ruler method. And that's so if they don't have it, they don't have to use it. But if they want to try it, they certainly can use it as well.
Cool, cool.
Yeah.
So do you go out and travel and teach? Is that part of your package of things that you do?
Oh, yes. I love to travel. That's one of the things that I just love to do. If I could go all the time, I would be going. Don't get me wrong. I love being home.
Yeah.
But I love to visit with people and see different parts of the country and even travel abroad. I just think it's so much fun. So, yeah, I travel quite often. I usually try to limit myself to one or two times a month, but sometimes, depending on the time of year, I can go up to three or four. You know, it depends how busy things are. But, yeah, I do. I love to travel. I teach pretty much all over the country, and I lecture, same thing, pretty much all over the country.
Well, so they can go to your website, and you have a page for what you do and where you'll be?
Yes, I do. I have an upcoming events section, and I also have information if anybody's interested in having me come to a guild. I have my fees as well as what I do for classes and lectures and that sort of thing.
So that's opengatequilts.com. So you can go visit Monique there. So now tell me, you also blog.
I do blog.
What do you like most about that? You know, I just love to blog.
Well, when that's one of the things that CNT was really big on is blogging. And I fits and started when I first started doing it. And I kept thinking to myself, do people really want to know what I'm doing? You know, that was my worry. And then I'm thinking, what am I going to talk about? So CNT encouraged me to start blogging. And they said, it's good to help promote your book and it's good to get out in that world. Ever since I started, I cannot believe how many people I've met and how wonderful everybody is and commenting. And it's just so much fun to read their comments. And another thing that was really kind of neat is that we just got a puppy last September, or no, October, and my friend Carrie Nelson from Miss Rosie's Cook Company, she said, you just blog about that dog and everybody will love it. Well, she is a great conversation. So if you get a chance, go check out, because it does have pictures of my puppy, and I do talk about quilting as well.
Yes, there's actually gorgeous photos of the dogs and quilts. Yeah, Monique was, you must have been at a guild, so there's some photos somebody took of you holding up your quilts, and it's great. It's great. So you have, we'll just segue here to your dogs, because you actually, dogs are part of your hobby, aren't they?
Yes, they are. They, that's one thing when I got married to my husband, I'm from Canada originally. I was born in Canada, and he lives in the U.S., and one of the things I said to him is that I want to get my degree, and I also need to get an old English sheepdog, and he just kind of looked at me, and he said, okay, if that's your terms, that's what we're going to do. So, and we got both, so, and we've had old English sheepdogs. I actually grew up with them, so that's how I fell in love with them, and they've been my hobby ever since, and they're just a lot of fun. They're big, cuddly dogs. And I take them for walks, and we have a great time.
Yeah, I never heard that in the marriage agreements before. So that's a good one.
That was my stipulation.
Yes. Oh, now I have to pass along. Someone, I think it's Beth, left a comment on my blog that she won your block from the 100 Blocks Volume 2 giveaway.
Awesome.
Yeah, and she said she wrote you a note, but I'm not sure whether she'll have to read her comment. I can't remember if she emailed it or wrote you in the mail, but she wanted to be sure that you knew that she had gotten it and she just loved your blog. So.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's so much fun when people get stuff like that and respond to you, because sometimes when you do those things, you don't know what's going to happen to it, so I'm glad it went to a good home.
Yes, and she's hangs out on my forum and is very awesome.
So. Excellent. Well, that's wonderful. She'll have to check out my blog.
Yes, went to a good home. Good home.
Yes, wonderful.
Now, I have a question, because I like to ask, you know, people this. When you sort of get stalled on something, do you have something you do to get yourself jump started again? If maybe a project's, you know, you're sort of stuck how to start it or stuck someplace within a project, what do you do to get it going again?
Well, actually, what I usually do is I have a very good friend that's awesome at color and different things, and we bounce ideas off each other all the time. So I'll just call her up and say, you know, I need an opinion. Can you help me? And she'll come over and she'll give me a totally different perspective than what I had thought. And it just kind of gets me going again. And I'm like, you are awesome.
Yeah.
Those friends are so important to have. You know, when you find one that you can bounce ideas off and do things with, it's really, really important.
That is very true, because you need to trust the person and know that, you know, whether you're doing it professionally or not professionally, you want somebody to come in and work with you.
Right, exactly.
And be supportive to help.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Definitely.
Now, I have noticed on your quilts, there is little, very, very little applique, my dear.
That's something I want to get into. I do have a new applique quilt that I designed. And remember, I was telling you about the book with the different motifs?
Right.
It uses some of those motifs, and it's called Secret Garden, and it is applique, and it's beautiful. So I am starting to get into more applique, and I know you love to applique, so you'll have to check that out.
Mm-hmm. I will check it out. I will check it out.
Yeah. And before I forget, I do want to talk about the retreat that I'm
planning. Oh, yes, please. Tell me about the retreat.
Bonnie Sullivan from All Through the Night and I were right next to each other at Quilt Market, and we were talking about possibly doing a retreat. She had just been to France. She has a book out by Quilt Mania, and so she was talking about that. And I said, oh, I love to travel. I would love to do a retreat. So we started talking, and we got very excited about it. So in the meantime, we have decided that we are going to do it. We are going to, the details aren't firm yet, but we're looking at the end of September of 2012, and either 5 or 6 days, depending how we work it out. But she has a place that she has stayed in that has a room that we could set up. I'm not sure if we're going to do sewing machines, but a little sewing room that we can all sit and chat and do stuff. And we're going to have some tours of the different area. And it's in the Bordeaux area, which is a wonderful wine area. I don't know if
I was going to say, I think that's wine.
Yes, wine. There's a lot. And it's right on the Dordogne River. So there's, you know, you can take boat tours. There's a bunch of different things. So we are very excited about it. And make sure if anybody is interested, just to check our website. We will both be blogging and talking about that once things get a little more firmly made. So,
okay,
yeah.
Will it have? So you're going to have it on your website. Is that what you said?
Yes, I'll have it on the website, and I'll also be blogging about it. I'm sure just to keep people up on where we're going and what time of year we're looking at the end of September of next year, and then, you know, exact dates, and we're talking to the people that own the B&B and making sure the plans with that work and getting everything all kind of planned out, what we want to do and what projects we want to do, because we're going to do some sewing. We're not just going to tour. We are going to do a little sewing. But I just think it'll be a lot of fun, and we'll have some wonderful giveaways and some really, really fun things to do.
Oh, my gosh. I may have to sign up. Because,
well, Pat, you are more than welcome.
I just want to go hang out, you know. Wouldn't that be fun?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And just to see the country. I lived in Europe for 2 years, so I'm familiar with a lot of Europe, but I haven't been in that area. And so this is just perfect for me because I'm like, oh, yeah, I haven't been there. I'd love to see it. And I know a little bit of French, so I can get by. I'm just enough to be dangerous.
Ah, well, you know, Monique, this has been totally fabulous.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it so much.
And we are going to take a little break and come back and go visit Monique at opengatequilts.com. And we'll chat with another guest in a few minutes. Bye-bye, Monique.
Bye. Thank you.
Free stuff. Find out about our newest online sweepstakes and contests and how you can enter at allpeoplequilt.com/promos.
Make your projects so much easier with great products from Sewline. Sewline offers a variety of innovative quality marking tools for quilters and sewers. The Sewline Trio is a 3-in-1 fabric marking tool that allows you to quickly change from black ceramic to white lead to a blank stylus with just one click. Both LEDs are water-soluble and designed to provide a crisp, clean line that's easy to erase. To purchase Sewline products, visit your local quilt shop.
Beautiful computerized quilting is simple with the HQ Pro Stitcher. Every design becomes a perfect fit for your quilt with the HQ Pro Stitcher. You can resize, repeat, rotate, and crop right on the new 10-inch color touchscreen. No computer needed. The HQ Pro Stitcher works with all HQ Stitch regulated machines and has a quick setup that allows you to get quilting in no time.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
You're back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, and I'm your host, Pat Sloan. My second guest today is going to talk machine quilting. And I know, I mean, this is like a topic everybody loves and loves to learn about. And we have Handy Quilter Educator Coordinator, Vicki Hoth. And Vicki is just a, you know, dynamo of information. And we're going to get right to getting some of that out of her. So hi, Vicki, how are you?
Hi, how are you today?
I am just awesome. I'm so awesome, and I'm so happy to have you here to talk machine quilting.
That's my love.
It's your life, too, isn't it?
It pretty much is my life.
Well, it's a good life.
Yes, it is.
Now, how did you, just tell people, how did you end up working for Handy Quilter? You know, this seems like a dream job for a lot of people.
I know. It's kind of like you get paid to play.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a good friend by the name of Laurel Barris, and she is the actual founder of Handy Quilter, and I've known her for years. We served in PTAs, in church activity, different things, and it just kind of evolved from here's a machine, play with it, tell me what you think, until, mm-hmm. hey, come to work for me, and mm-hmm. then she... You know, there it just happened, and she retired, and I'm still here, and just loving it.
That is really neat. I got a chance to come out and see your facility in Salt Lake last month. It's amazing.
It is beautiful. It's wonderful. Everybody should come and see it.
I know your big room where you hold your classes and everything. That is so great.
Yes, we have 17 machines in a 3,000 square foot studio. That's just that's what I call my office.
Yes.
And that's where, and we have like 50, 60 quilts hanging all over the facility. It is a machine factory, you know, mm-hmm. where we actually manufacture the machines, mm-hmm. but it's an office, and there's quilts in every office and just inspiration for the quilters.
Yeah, I think there were even quilts in the bathrooms.
There are.
There are, yes. You had to tell that little secret, you know, so everybody's going to come and look.
That's entertainment for you.
There you go. So tell me, just, you know, just sort of in a small nutshell, you know, what is a typical day like for you? I mean, do you actually get to quilt every day, or is that sort of just something that happens periodically? Because you're in charge of all the education, so it's not like you're making quilts for people every day.
There is really no typical, you know, there is no typical day. Every day is different. We were discussing this morning about what is a typical day here, and every day is different. Unless we do retreats, which we have 16 different retreats a year, mm-hmm. that's more typical education. We start at 8 in the morning. We end about 8 at night, and, mm-hmm. and we're teaching, you know, new owners or wannabe owners how to use the machine and how to quilt. Typical day... Other than that, it's different every day because we're doing, I'm writing tutorials, mm-hmm. we test new products. I very rarely do I ever get to quilt here, so I quilt at home. So it is a 24 job.
So you have to quilt at home, just
right.
like the rest of the world.
That's right. But, you know, we do a lot. This is where the education happens, and it's mm-hmm. really, to me, it's really important that the students come in, and because they come in, a lot of them not having plugged in their machine. Mm-hmm. Or not, you know, they're so afraid of the machine, and some of them have had it for 3, 4, 5 years and have hardly used it. And so when they leave here, they walk out with such a shot in the arm of education, and they're just not afraid anymore.
Yeah, that's the best part. It's like you don't want to, you want to enjoy your machine, so you're helping people to do that.
Yeah, I have a hard time believing that somebody will buy a $8,000, $9,000, $12,000 toy product and leave it in a box for a few years. And I think, oh man, that comes out of the box as soon as I get home.
Yes, yes.
So this is what we like to do. You know, it's just give them that shot in the arm to feel comfortable with the machines.
Now, there, you know, a lot of what you teach, you know, just teaching quilting in general can be done on a domestic machine, or you have like your sit down long arm and then you have your stand up long arm. But can you, just for people who don't really understand what the difference is, the difference between, I call it pushing fabric and driving the machine.
That's exactly what it is. With a domestic machine, you've definitely got a smaller throat space, and you are pushing fabric. You have to sandwich that fabric together into the three layers, pinning or basting, whatever you want to do, and then push it through. And to me, that's hard on my shoulders and arms and that, where the long arm, you attach each piece of fabric to a pole and then let the machine help sandwich it through, and it's easier as far as the stress on your body. We still recommend that the quilters take a rest once in a while, because sometimes they don't. But but as far as the difference between the two, a lot of it has to do with the space that you have in your home. You know, our Suite 16 has a table that's about 3 foot by 3 foot.
Right.
Compared to our Vontae or Fusion has a 12-foot table that takes 8 to 9 feet, you know, 12 by 9 feet.
Right.
And so, you know, it's a designated room for that long arm compared to your push-through.
It definitely is a designated room. I mean, don't you hear the stories where people, like, build onto their house just to accept their machine?
Yes, or kick a child out of a room. Or this last retreat we had, there was two or three of them that said, oh, it's in my bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, wow, my husband wouldn't really appreciate that too much. But they love that so much that that's they're willing to do that.
Yeah, yeah. So how long does it take, you know, because you work with so many different people, and I work with people too, you know, we sort of have a feel, you know, whether you're pushing fabric or driving the machine, how long does it take people to get sort of good, what they feel is good enough, you're good at it?
Oh, that is such a hard question, because
some
may take longer just because of their, that talent, that type of a talent, rather than some that are just artsy, just real artsy, and they've drawn and they see things differently.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that it does take to, for anyone, is practice. You know, and they can't, and not just practicing on the machine, but we teach in our retreats that they draw. We hand out plastic that they can use dry erase marker on, and they draw the designs, and then they go to the machine and they practice, and they come back and they say, all right, what did we learn? Then we practice again on the paper, then they go back. So it's getting that hand-eye coordination to be able to put it from a paper to the machine. And if someone, if I've taught someone feathers or a design and in my retreats, and they come back, I see them in a year and they say, I just didn't get it, I'll say, you haven't practiced enough then. Because I really think that if you practice drawing and then on the machine, you'll get it.
And I agree with you. I find that people, because they have busy lives, you know, they're doing other things besides, you know, just quilting, is they'll leave too long of a gap between their practice.
Yeah, and I even see that with myself, you know, we're working so much, especially during a retreat, I get very little time on the machine at home. And so that's where sometimes computerized quilting helps.
Yeah. I would like that.
It's really nice.
Yeah, push a button and there it goes. Now, I had a question on is either my blog or on Facebook, I forget which, but somebody wanted to know if there was a trick, and maybe you have an answer for this. This would be for pushing fabric, a trick to get the foot, brain, and hands all working at the same time. And I'm sure the long arms have the same thing. You have got multiple things, like learning to drive a car. You know, is there a trick to get all of that working?
Well, patience. You know, we see with our retreats, a lot of times our ladies will come in and they just quilt so fast that they don't really have control. And so I say slow down a little bit, learn how to manage the needle and the speed, you know, with your hands, and then, you know, sometimes you can speed up on some designs and some techniques. Sometimes it just takes a slow hand to get it, whether it's the fast, whether it's the long arm or the sit down. And when we teach pantographs, sometimes we teach them to quilt a little faster than they think because they're trying to follow that little red dot on the line, and they stitch and it looks kind of like a grandma stitch, you know, kind of shaky.
Yeah.
and so I say, okay, just speed up just a little bit more so you get that real smooth curve as you go around that curve, you know. And so it depends on what you're trying to do, whether you're going to quilt faster or slower. And I don't know, you know, practice. I just go back to that practice.
I think that's it, too. I mean, it just clicks. It's like learning to drive. You didn't learn the second you got in the car.
And, that's right.
You know, it took a few trips around the block and your mom's hair turning gray and all that, and then you got it.
That's right, and some of it being pulled out, too.
Yes, yes, a little bit of that.
Yes.
Now, let me see if I can ask you a quick question here, because we're gonna do a break. Why don't you tell me on the long arm, just in a briefly, you don't have to base like you do traditionally. So are there different ways to put everything on those rollers?
Well, yeah, the way we teach it is the roller against the closest one to your belly. We kind of call that the belly bar. That's where you load your back. So you're going to pin that or base that to a leader, a fabric leader, and then roll that on. And then the next roller is your top roller. That's where you put your top and do the same thing, baste or pin that on. And then from there, you're going to pull that bottom, the backing, up underneath the idler pole that we have and up to the third leader, which is what we call the take-up roller. And that pin that to that leader and then put batting between it and bring up your top up to the edge of those pins, baste across the top, and now you've got it all, you know, your 12 to 20 inches of throat space depending on the machine you have.
Yep.
And then you're ready to go.
Cool. We're going to take a little break and we're going to come back and BeHandyQuilter.com, there is video on how to do this too. So,
yeah,
we'll be right back.
Favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at APQShop.com.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Pam.
What have you been quilting lately?
I just finished a Lone Star quilt for my niece's wedding.
Oh, I can't wait to see the finished quilt.
Me too. I have so many finished tops that I'm really considering looking into a long arm of my own. Don't you have a handy quilter? I've heard good things about them.
I do, and I love my HQ18 Avante. No more UFOs at my house. I have so much space to work with, and it's so fast. The stitch regulator gives me perfect stitches every time, and the precision glide track systems makes quilting so smooth I could quilt all day.
I would love that. I've been looking at the HQ24 Fusion.
Oh, I think that would be perfect for you. It's got all the great HQ features of the Avante with more throat space. You'll love working with Handy Quilter. Their customer service is top-notch.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area.
Handy Quilter. Designed by a quilter for quilters.
Moda Fabrics brings you the hottest new fabric lines for quilting. We work with more than 40 of your favorite independent designers, as well as in-house design staff to make sure you have the latest and greatest in fabrics. We're committed to creating high-quality products and providing excellent customer service. And for 35 years, Moda Fabrics has proudly supported the independent quilt shop. Visit your local independent quilt shop to see what's new from Moda Fabrics.
We're listening to you. Comment on today's show and tell us your ideas for future shows. Visit the contact page on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now, back to the show. Here's Pat.
We're back with Vicki Hoff, the coordinator of education for Handy Quilter. And just to remind you again that you can go to handyquilter.com and watch a video to see how the big long arm machines are loaded. Now, Vicki, the thing that I feel like a lot of people want to know, they've left me messages. I mean, I personally always like to know this. What are good ways of actually marking a quilt, whether it's you're pushing it or you're loading it on the long arm? Are there some better methods for marking out there so it's easy?
For marking your designs or
marking the designs.
That's one of the things we teach at our retreats is how do I get these patterns on? What am I going to do? Marking tools. There are so many marking tools. You know, your blue marking tools, your white. There's, of course, the pantographs that are paper, you know, rolls of paper with the design on it, and they use the laser light, so there's no need to mark at all.
Right.
And you'll
right.
just use that laser. You'll quilt from the back of the machine. I've used the blue marking pen. I've never had a problem with getting that out as long as I submerge the whole quilt in water so that it totally comes out. There's lots of different stencils. You can create your own stencils. Golden Threads has a what they call their golden thread paper. And you can actually make your own stencils, draw a design on the paper, and then stitch through that on your domestic machine with just a needle, and then use white, the pounce chalk. There's an iron-off pounce chalk that works great because it'll leave the design on there, not necessarily the chalk part, but it'll leave a white line on there, and then you can, using a steam iron after, take that off. And so that works really well. There's white pencils. There's a white mechanical pencil that erases off. There's a white iron-off pen
that
I love. I love it because it just irons off. One of the things I've learned is to take netting or tulle and draw your design on that and then use one of those marking tools, marking pens, so you can see right through where you're putting it. You can also, you know, cut out shapes like hearts and stars and draw those around. Rulers help to get that accuracy. You know, so there's so many different ways.
And there's tons of rulers. I mean, if a person long arms, rulers are like part of your repertoire, aren't they?
Absolutely. As long as they're using the quarter-inch rulers, we have 12 different styles of rulers that we sell, rulers and different templates. And so I love using rulers because I like that perfection of getting a straight line or, a nice curve. You know, so it's a slower process in using rulers. You know, you can't quilt really fast with them, but it gives you that accuracy. So it's really nice.
Does it take long to learn how? I've never played with them on the long arm, but does it take a while to learn how to hold them against the foot?
It does. It's like a three-point pressure. You have to press down onto the – you always want to use a ruler base or a extended base so that you have a big enough throat there for the ruler to balance on. But it's a three-point. You press down, you press the ruler against the hopping foot, and you pull the hopping foot towards the ruler. So it takes time, but like I say, it's a slower process, and you can't quilt fast with it, or you might end up with the ruler up over the hopping foot with the needle. Anyway, disaster. And so, but it's a nice. We have a whole day on our retreats that it's all rulers.
Oh,
and
neat.
And by the time they leave, they all love rulers because it's just fun to use.
Fun to use, and that's cool because when they come work with you, they're actually getting hands-on.
They do. Each student has their own machine for the week, so they don't have to share it all.
Ah, nice.
We provide all the kits. We provide the teachers, the food, their treats, the chocolate, and more chocolate, and we even entertainment. We take them to local quilt shops in the evening and let them shop. And
of course, because they haven't had enough quilting all day. So.
That's right. More inspiration for the next day.
That's right. And now on the website under the HQ Education tab, you have the retreat list, so people can go see when the retreats are. And
they're
all done in Salt Lake City at your offices there.
They are. It's really nice to come and be away from your own home and be pampered, because we take such good care of them, and you know, and a full studio of inspiration.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's a gorgeous studio. It's got lots of light. It's just beautiful.
Yeah. And don't even have to worry about the weather, because we take care of that too.
Oh, there you go. You just have connections, don't you?
Yeah, well, whether it rains or snows, you can always quilt.
Yeah, that's true. You're not going to be outside quilting, so
no.
On that. Now, you know, people also ask me, and I'm sure I know they ask you, you know, what do I put on this quilt? You know, what design do I quilt this quilt with? Because most patterns, most books don't give a lot of detail on that. There are some now, and I think it's happening more, but, you know, do you teach that? I mean, do you have a tip for people?
We have a how to quilt it class, and it's probably my most favorite, because after spending a week with the quilters, you kind of see their personalities, and then when they start pulling their quilts out, you see if that quilt matches their personality. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it surprises you. Mm-hmm. But what we pull that out, we teach them how to read the quilt. Mm-hmm. Is it a quilt that will be drug around by a child? Is it a quilt that's going to be on hung up as a wall hanging? Is it a bed quilt? Mm-hmm. What talents does the quilter have? That's a lot that we have to think about. Are they capable of doing some things? And also, what does the fabric tell us? Is there a lot of property of fabric that you can put some beautiful designs, or is it something so busy that just an edge-to-edge design would be the best thing for it? You know, so we walk them after spending a week here or 2 to 3 days here, they have learned a lot of different designs and techniques. Then by the time they get through a couple of quilts that they have brought, then they start to being able to read that quilt and say, oh, I think that I wouldn't put hearts in a quilt, a 4th of July quilt. You know, so there's, you know, there's some pretty practical things that they learn, but they get to see how maybe using rulers would enhance this quilt or putting a stencil. So, yeah, we walk them through how to just feel comfortable with finding.
Well, that's also a good tip, just to say, to look at the quilt itself. And you can go out and look at long arm designs in books or online at the stores that sell designs, any kind of free motion designs. Those can go for both sit down when you quilt it yourself or on the long arm. That should help people to think about it.
Yeah, and whether you have a sit down like the Sweet 16, you can still use the rulers. We teach them that, you know, if we have some sit-down people come through, we teach them how to use the rulers and stencils, you know, and they can even use the pantographs and put a design that you, of course, wouldn't be using a laser light.
Right.
But, you know, teach them how to get those designs on, whether they are a sit-down or a long-arm push.
Now, the long-arm quilting has really become more mainstream. I think that's a good word to use. You know, it used to be like it was just, you know, somebody had a long arm in the middle of Texas and you mailed your quilt there, and then, you know, then the one had them over there. But now there's long-armers everywhere. People do it for hobby. They don't just do it for business. What do you think has made that change happen?
Well, a lot of people, they want to be able to finish it. They've started it, they've pieced it, they want to say, this is a quilt that I'm giving to someone, whether they love that person or just for themselves, they want to be able to say, I have made this from purchasing the fabric, cutting it out, piecing it, and quilting and binding it. So that's just, you know, that's a big deal. The other thing is that a lot of them have a lot of tops sitting there that aren't quilted because it was $100, $200, $300 for what they wanted. And so they thought, well, I'm going to save that money. I'm going to give it back to myself by quilting my own quilts. And then the other thing I think is the age of the quilting. You're seeing about the demographics for quilt long arm is about 55, and that's when you're starting to retire. You get more money and I think more time. I haven't seen that yet, but more time. And, you know, then you can say, okay, this is my thing. I want to do this. I'm done with work. I'm done with these things. And it's just a fulfilling thing. And I used to say that it was cheaper than therapy, but no, I don't know. But it's more fun than therapy.
Well, it's way more fun. I totally agree. Way more fun. So, Vicki, you yourself, just to give people a little insight into your personality, you have hobbies, and I understand. A little birdie told me that you do an annual mother-daughter retreat. You must love retreats, girl.
Oh, I guess so. Well, I do. About a couple of times a year, I get I'd like to do it more often, but, you know, it's not happening. But I bring my daughters and my daughter-in-law together, and we do a project. And so they have to, the method of my madness is that they're going to love to quilt like I do, right? And we just come to my house, and I provide all the sewing machines. They don't even have to bring sewing machines. And I usually provide all the fabric, and a lot of times I have it already cut out, just because the more I can entice them, the more, you know, the better it is for me. And so I just bring them together, and we just play and we quilt, and it'd be wonderful if we could send all the babies away with the fathers, but sometimes that doesn't happen. So we have little children running around, but it's just, you know, it's because my hobby outside of quilting is my family.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So if there any way that I can be together with them and teach them, and that's the way it is.
Well, I think that's so, so wonderful. You must have just a fabulous time.
We do. We do.
Well, I just want to tell everybody, we're closing in here on the end. This has been just amazing, Vicki. I'm so glad you've come on and talked quilting with us.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
I loved it.
You'll do it.
You'll have to come back again sometime.
Okay. I'd love to.
Okay, you can visit Handy Quilter at handyquilter.com, and then if you join up for one of those fabulous retreats, you'll get to meet Vicki herself.
And all of our studio educators, we have a good time here. You'll meet the whole company.
There you go. It's going to be a fabulous thing. Thank you, Vicki.
You're welcome. Thanks for asking.
So next week, everybody, I want you to come back because I have four guests, and it's going to be wild and crazy fun. I have Diane Rose from Texas, who is a blind quilter, and she's going to talk to us about that. I have, Jenny Doe, who has a brand new book about bloggers, which is really cool. I have Jen Eskridge, who has a new book about using military uniforms in projects, plus Callie Gallagher Abbott, who is from Jukebox Quilts, and she's going to talk about Blue Angels exhibit that she curated of quilts. And so here we go. That's happening next week. So be sure you visit allpeoplequilt.com for all the fabulous projects, and come back next week to listen to our show here at American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening.